Welcome to another episode of Is This For Kids? I'm Jonathan Blevins.
I'm Katie, Mrs. Ruby.
And what a blessing.
What a blessing every day. So glad to be here with you, John.
It's good to be here too. We had a 70 degree day recently, and it's going to be back to the 20s.
It's supposed to, today, the day that we are recording this, is supposed to be the record high in my hometown. And then the same day, 1 week later, 19 degrees.
This is the worst time of year.
It's really very bad. Hey, we haven't told people like who we are, how many kids we have, our relationship thing. None of that recently.
We're friends.
Yeah.
We've been friends for a couple of years.
I mean, I'm your friend.
What does that mean?
I'm just kidding. It's an Instagram reel.
Oh, I don't get it.
Anyway.
I'm offline.
No, you're not. You're so online.
So I've been married for, hold on, kids 11.
Carry the one.
12 years.
John just took his shoes off.
What?
Because you can't count. You
ran out yes. of fingers. Been married for 12 years, 13, I think this year, actually, which is really fun. In September, we got married on Friday the 13th because we're Catholic. We don't believe in jinxes.
Beautiful.
Isn't that great? Yeah. I've got four kids, 11, 9, 6, and 1. He turned 1 this past weekend.
I know.
What we had a little party for him. It was the crabbiest day of his life.
He was so grouchy.
It was so the whole day. I think he was teething. But you had a great birthday party the day after. But yeah, that's my life.
Yeah, and I have a husband. I've been married for 19 years this year. In September, on the 3rd, because we got married on Labor Day weekend, so that our anniversary is always a long weekend.
Oh, that's a genius. Was that really why you did it?
We did it because when we wanted to have our honeymoon take the fewest possible days off of work. So yeah, we were trying to use fewer vacation days when we went on our honeymoon. And I have 5 children. My oldest is 17. She's graduating high school this year. And then I have a about to be 16-year-old, just turned 13, 11, and 5.
Do you have all their birthdays memorized, including the years?
Yes.
I don't. But I have their birthdays memorized, but not the years.
And my husband's birthday, and my husband's social security number. Yeah. And every birthday in my household, except for the baby, overlaps something with somebody else. So like I have 2 that are born in June, 2 that are on the 25th, 2 wow. in March, you know, stuff like that.
That's impressive.
Crazy, right?
I'd like to take it back to weather for a second.
Okay.
So we have a tradition. This is we are parents and we talk a lot about parenting stuff. We started this new tradition based off of friends of ours that started doing this with their family, where when their kids turn, I think they do it when they're like 13 or 14 or something, they take one trip for that kid when they turn that age.
Yeah.
It's really whatever that kid wants to do. So they can go to Florida, whatever. My oldest, we decided to do it when he turned 11. And so we just went to a Red Wings game.
Nice.
It was a ton of fun. I highly recommend the tradition because we've got 4 kids. As you know, it can be hard to spend super, you know, important quality time with them. And so we loved it. On the drive home, it was awful. It was pouring rain for like 4 straight hours. It was like a 5.5-hour drive. And we drove right past this one part near Union City, Michigan, where it was probably 2 o'clock p.m. and it was pitch black.
Oh, man.
And I looked over at my wife and I was like, this is tornado weather. Like, just look, pull the app up, like, look, because it is night. And it was only maybe like 5 miles, and then we got out of it. And the next day, they had the largest tornado they've had in Michigan in that exact spot.
Wow.
Yeah. So prayers for all the families there. It's pretty horrifying. It was like the first time they've ever caught on camera a tornado picking up ice from the lake.
That's crazy. We have the same policy, by the way. We do the birthday trip, but ours is for 16th birthdays. So the grandparents thus far have gotten the kids a car, so we haven't had to do that, which is cool. But we'd let them take a trip for their 16th birthday with, you know, 1 or 2 parents.
I love that.
And how expensive their trip is. So Maggie went to Disney World with just me and my son.
Wants to go to an F1 race.
No, my oldest son is going to the Big Island of Hawaii this summer to swim an open water race.
What? What about sharks?
I don't know.
Wow. Who's going?
Luis and I are both going because we have a family member who owns a condo there. So it's actually one of the cheaper vacations
take. There's no rules about this tradition. So we might, like a bunch of people on Twitter, I tweeted the whole story out and it like kind of blew up.
Yeah.
And someone's like, well, so what if you want to take 2 trips? Like, what if you change your mind and you want to do another one? I was like, well, then we'll just do another one.
Right.
Maybe we'll do another one when they turn 16.
I don't know who needs to hear this, parents, but you actually make the rules in your house.
That's right.
You can just change it.
And you can start your own traditions.
Exactly. You can do whatever you want.
All right, well, we're going to talk today about 2 movies that are, I've seen commercials for both these movies, I think during the Super Bowl and for a month before that and in the last month, Hoppers and Goat.
Yes. The only 2 kid movies really that have been out in February and March, in theaters anyway. It's been a lot of horror movies, man.
Did you know, first of all, back to the ocean real quick. Okay. Did you know they're doing Moana?
Yeah.
They're doing like Moana, the real version already.
Yeah.
They're running out of ideas. And then there's also a new movie coming out called the Pout Pout Fish movie.
Yeah, we're going to see it. It's on the list.
Oh,
it comes out March 20th.
Why are we going to go see that?
Because it's
there's famous actors in it.
And because it's a kid movie that's coming out over the spring.
This is what they're doing, though. They make the, like, there's one good book, and the book is a 20-page book.
It's, right. This is what they, you know how why I hate the Grinch Who Stole Christmas movies?
That's a good point.
That book was not long enough for that. And the freaking Cat in the Hat is the same thing. We're going to have to watch that too. I've literally
No, we're not watching Cat in the Hat.
The previews during Hoppers and Goat were all both the same in my theater. Like, we had the same set of previews because it's a kid movie. And the Cat in the Hat movie came up and I was like, unless someone actually tells me they want me to review this movie, I am not going to it. Like, I was rocking.
They just can't keep, they can't keep making these movies.
No, away with please. It. I mean,
Pow Pow Fish could be good because the book was good, but like it's, they're going to have to, it's going to be a whole new story.
Hit me up on Instagram and let me know. I'm Mrs. Ruby on Instagram. Can I skip the Cat in the Hat, please?
Well, let's get into Hoppers. And you're going to do the summary because that's, you're very good at the summaries.
Okay.
But Hoppers got a 93% on Rotten Tomatoes or 94 and like a 95% popcorn rating.
Yeah.
I'll be pooping on that today.
Just a general overview of the movie Hoppers, and I apologize, I didn't write this down in advance. This is off the top of my head, but basically we've got a young kid, Mabel, who at the beginning of the movie is established that she really loves animals. She's stealing all the classroom pets or whatever, trying to get them out of there. And she has a grandmother who taught her to love nature, and she taught her to love nature by hanging out at this little glen area. As she gets older, yada yada, time moves on, the grandmother's passed away, and she's mourning the loss of her grandmother. And at the same time, politicians have decided that they're going to like pave over that area and create a beltway. And so they have done maybe some unethical things to make the wildlife leave so that they don't have any pushback from environmental groups by putting like loudspeakers that deter animals away from this area. So now they can have a study done that says there's no animals who live here. We're good to go. We can just go ahead and put in this beltway. And it turns out that that's not true, that they've drove them all away and that they're overcrowding in this other location. And so Mabel, somehow gets involved with a science lab where they can put your brain into an animal robot's body. And she even, like, they even said the line, like, oh, it's just like Avatar. And they're like, it is not like Avatar. It's exactly like Avatar.
It is Avatar.
It's 100% Avatar. But since Disney owns both of those properties, who cares, right? And so they basically made Avatar for little kids. And then as she's this, she's a beaver, right?
Beaver,
yeah, she's a beaver. She's going around trying to, like, get the animals to fight for their space back, and hilarity ensues. I don't want to give away the end of the movie, but I mean, there's not really, they decide they're going to squish the humans, like they get all the people together, the mammal king and the bird king,
and
the bug king, and she ends up murdering the bug queen on accident, and then the bug queen's son, the heir apparent, is very upset.
Is Jeffrey Dahmer.
Right. He's going to, you know, the whole thing was gross. And they decided that they're going to go kill this mayor guy who looks exactly like Gavin Newsom, which was really weird. And they I don't know. And then eventually Gavin Newsom ends up being one of the good guys. And I'm not sure how.
So there's really not that many spoilers there.
Sorry.
He does look like Gavin Newsom. And then when he becomes the beaver, he looks like Donald Trump.
Yeah.
He's got like a blonde wavy hair.
Yeah, I don't know what to make of
it. It was just, okay, here's my problem.
Yeah.
First of all, I do not understand how this movie has good reviews. And I know this is not a movie review podcast.
It is a little.
This is, but we're talking about parents and kids.
Yeah.
So I don't think it was that good. And I maybe I'll get into that. But my problem with this movie is that it was marketed as like this really cute, cool, funny movie that you wouldn't have to listen to this podcast before you go see it. You just go see it.
Yeah.
And it wasn't that funny. And I'm pretty easy to impress. Like, I can take off the adult hat and be like, okay, I'm going to go see this as like if I was a kid watching it. I didn't think it was that funny. I thought the main character was super annoying. And the third act of the movie was like, was creepy. It was unnecessarily creepy.
It was weird.
You know, they've got this, these birds fly this giant shark to try to kill a guy. Yeah, it sounds like not scary, but like the shark was not, it was a scary looking shark.
It was a very polite, scary-looking shark.
Yeah, it was very kind, but it's just like, I'm going to kill you, I'm going to eat you, I'm going to do all those things.
You're going to feel a slight biting sensation followed by death.
Not that funny.
That was the funniest line in the whole movie.
It probably was the funniest line in the movie. And then you've got one of the bugs becomes, spoiler alert, so close your ears if you don't want to hear this, but one of the bugs becomes the robot mayor, and...
Yeah, they switch it, like... Oh.
You hear me talk about this all the time. They keep putting this in kids' movies where, like, the mayor does the creepy ring walk. where you're like on all fours backwards with your neck upside down, like running, and then they rip his face off and the robot is horrifying. And so I think the whole thing seems like a giant political movie that they marketed to little kids to be a really cute, safe, funny movie that wasn't very good, was kind of difficult to follow. And the main character is the one causing all the issues. She's like, the whole movie is her causing problems and then trying to fix the problems that she caused. There's not one strong male character in the movie, mm-hmm. right? Even the Beaver King, who is like objectively the best character.
The Beaver King is the best
character. He's adorable.
Yeah.
But even he is like,
and it's
this.
Bobby Moynihan. Which I love.
Who's that?
He's the actor that does the voice.
Yeah, but how do I know him?
Yeah, from Saturday Night Live.
Oh, he is funny.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, that guy's funny. But yeah, I don't think that it was a good movie. I think they marketed it as this funny thing. It wasn't that funny. It wasn't that cute. And the main character, super. And again, not one strong male character in the entire film.
It was very weird.
I would argue not one strong female character in the entire film.
I would say not one strong character in the film.
Yeah. Like Sissy Beaver was the best character.
It was very odd. The Sissy Beaver. Don't call it that. I mean, the king?
Yeah,
he's
the Beaver
so
King.
Cute.
Yeah, but come on. He's not a leader.
Okay, and I did think it was odd that there was like a strange Game of Thrones reference in there that he was referring to as the paw of the king. The hand of the king is like thing in Game of Thrones. So I thought that was a little bit weird to have that in there. That was probably a handout to parents or something. But it's not offensive. Here's the thing. I don't think anything in this is going to be offensive to parents. There's no swears. There's no drugs. There's no drinking. The violence is kind of like things falling on people and like floods of water and fires and like natural violence kind of things. Nobody gets shot. Nobody gets stabbed. None of that kind of stuff.
The insect queen gets smushed.
She does get smushed. She smushes the insect queen and then rubs her body on the wall behind her, which is just like, what does happen here? But yeah, it was mostly just disjointed. Like it felt like the theme of the movie, like they were trying to make some sort of bigger political argument. But then at the end of the day, none of it really landed. It was like, everybody's sometimes kind of wrong. Everybody's sometimes kind of right. We all have to work together. Sometimes you have to eat me. Sometimes I have to eat you. Like, it's all good. Let's work together. And I was like, I don't know what I was supposed to walk away from this with. Like, there was nothing true, good, or beautiful to come out of it. There was no overarching theme. It wasn't particularly funny. But it isn't harmful. I think it would be, like, I asked my daughter, my 5-year-old daughter at the end, because I was trying to see, like, were they trying to make the mayor guy, the guy that looks like Gavin Newsom, was he supposed to be like a turnaround hero? Was he supposed to be a redeemable? Like, what was that? And I was like, who do you think the bad guy was in that movie? And she's like, oh, it was the bug. The bug is her takeaway bad guy.
Yeah.
And I was like,
I think that's like what they did.
Yeah.
That's what they wanted, I think, was that bug was the main villain.
Yeah. It was very kind of strange, like, that they had this. I originally started the movie thinking, like, oh, my gosh, Disney made a movie where the bad guy's the government. Government is the bad guy here. But then, no, like, he's sympathetic, and they tried to kill him with a shark, and now he's decided to work together with him. You know, a really weird turn of events, by the way, which is when I was like, oh, it's supposed to be, what's his name? They set the entire town on fire, and then he helps put it out. And so then you can find all of these images of this mayor guy in front of like a flaming background. And I'm like, oh, it's like all the images that you saw of what's his name on CNN at the time that this all went down when they set Pasadena on fire, whatever that was. It was really odd. But again, I couldn't take anything away from it. Like, even if that's who that politician was supposed to be, I didn't come away from it thinking like, I'm more sympathetic to Gavin Newsom now. Like, it just, it didn't work. Whatever it was weird.
Which is weird that it got, because I don't think Rotten Tomatoes is like a end all be all of reviews.
Sure.
But it's crazy to me that it got such a high score from both the audience and from critics.
Yeah. It feels like they're, you know, we say this on all the time that like kids can handle more than we think that they can. They can handle a more complicated plot, and they can. But by that, I mean there needs to be clean good guys and bad guys, and they can go to more than two locations. Or that like the overarching theme can be something deeper than be true to yourself, you know?
Yeah.
But when it's something that's like, everything's morally ambiguous, that's a little too much for a kid.
Yeah, the Catholic takeaway that I am from this movie, and like my biggest criticism of it, which I have not said yet, is one of my biggest problems in the world we live in today, especially in America, is how humans put animals on par with them, with themselves.
Yeah.
We treat animals oftentimes better than we treat humans. I always say on my stream, like if you're, and this causes uproar every single time, if you're spending more money on your pet than you are on like helping human beings in the world, there's something wrong there. Like
yeah.
you should be tithing more money than you're spending on your dog to live.
For sure.
When there's homeless people 5 miles away from your house or mm-hmm. a couple miles away from your house. And this movie 100% is trying to say that that animals and humans are the same and can work together completely.
Yes.
Like you actually can build a bridge while also taking care of the environment around you. You can do both, but it is up to us to make that decision, not the animals.
Yeah. And also like it seemed to muddle even that. Like it definitely seemed like that was the main thing to take away, except that it's okay to squish the very sentient bug queen. Like very clear. She was the leader.
Yeah.
Like she was leading the meeting as you murdered her. And then like the bear comes up and eats the guy and they're like, well, sometimes you get eaten. Like it yeah. just is what
pond
like,
rules.
I don't understand where we were going with this. Just it just felt muddled and weird and I don't get it. So
I'm saying 10 and up can watch it if you want to, but I'm disappointed that again, it was marketed as this huge thing. Just, we almost just took the kids and I'm sure it would have been fine. One of my kids would have been horrified of that robot walking. But that's a deeper thing. But I just would say it's 10 and up is fine.
Yeah. I think it's fine for any age. Anyway. I took my 5-year-old, nothing bad happened. It just like, she's not scared of the robot walk and the robot walk doesn't freak me out as bad as it did. But as soon as I saw it, I was like, John's going to talk about the robot walk.
Yep.
As soon as it happened, I didn't think the robot face was scary. It looked silly. Like the fact that his face gets peeled off is creepy. But like once it's off, it's just looking like a weird robot. So I don't know. I would say it's fine for any age. It's just not very good.
Yeah. But you know what is good is Goat.
Goat, which only has, I just looked it up, 83% on Rotten Tomatoes.
See, we are more correct than Rotten Tomatoes.
We are way more correct than Rotten Tomatoes. Goat. So your main character in Goat is Will. He's a goat, like a literal goat. And at the beginning, he's with his mom and they're taking pictures next to a billboard of the best roar ball, which is really basketball, but crazy.
With elements.
With elements, yeah. Roar ball player in the world, the country, whatever, the town. And she got him tickets, his mom. And it's like very obvious, this like working mom who's single mom. She's taking care of this kid and she just wants everything for her son. And they have a very sweet relationship with each other. And then it goes forward to the future. It's obvious that his mom has died or is no longer around. And we find out later that she's died. And he's being sort of raised by the town. So like he's not able to keep his stuff together. He's getting evicted because he's not paying his rent. But he's nice to his landlord. His landlord's nice to him, which I thought was kind of fun.
Yeah.
And he eventually gets picked up because he goes into a pickup basketball game with like the trash talkiest of the roar ball players, this guy named Maine, who happened to be in his town playing basketball at like the community court. And they took video of him and he went viral and they decided, okay, we're going to put him on the team just as a publicity stunt. And as it turns out, he helps them work together as a team. And then they go on in sports movie fashion from there. There you go. Oh, and like throughout the process, you've got the teammates that he has on the Thorns, which is the name of the team that he plays for, which includes like his idol, whose name I've now forgotten. My brain just exploded. Hold on. Jet. He's playing on the team with his idol, Jet Fillmore, who he was taking the photo with at the beginning. And she's got kind of a ball hog problem and they sort that all out. But yeah, it's a very uplifting sportsy movie.
Yeah, it's this generation's Space Jam.
Very much so.
And they need that because like the new Space Jam, I didn't think was very good. It has nothing to do with Space Jam, but just like this sport movie that has no garbage in it at all.
Yeah.
It is not, there's no agendas in this movie.
No sex,
it is
no just drugs, no violence, no swears.
Yeah. I mean, there's a couple of like jokes that they almost make that parents will pick up on that kids won't.
It was hilarious. He says, I'm going to put my foot up your cloaca.
Yeah.
And he's like, can you say cloaca?
I don't even know what a cloaca is.
Oh, I do. But he's like, that's the closest thing that you can get to saying butt, burr, air horn.
Yeah.
And they're like, they're like, they bleep it. They don't actually get to that point. There's a weird character, Moto, who's a little unsettling. But
yeah, he's weird and funny. Dennis Rodman, I think, is what you
Dennis
mentioned.
He's the Dennis Rodman character in there. Like, he's like, he's a lizard and he's like slithering around doing weird things. He's got this egg that you're like, what is happening with the egg?
Yeah. It was just a fun movie.
Yeah.
Like it's rare, I think, these days that you go into a movie that's made for kids and you walk out and you're just like, that was super fun.
Yeah.
I had seen Hoppers first. I thought I thought I was going to like that movie better.
So did I.
And so I was like, making sure I stayed awake. And Hopper's like, I just maybe fall asleep for 5 minutes during
Goat.
And I was glued. And I'm the only one in the theater.
Yeah.
I still feel like such a loser. Every time I go to the theater, I'm just sitting there for this podcast.
We're always going on Monday
And
nights.
I'm always telling the people that work there. I'm like, just so you know, I'm seeing these two kids movies and I'm alone. And it's because I do a podcast.
I bring my kids so that I don't look like a weirdo.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I see the movie so late. My kids go to bed at like 8.
Yeah.
I don't get home until 10.
Oh.
Which explains why I'm the only one in the theater on a Monday night at 10 o'clock.
Yeah, nobody's going to movies at that time, no matter what movie it is.
But it was just so fun and just zero political stuff, a heroic story of a kid who has a dream, who has a mom that like believes in him.
Supports him.
And we need more of that.
Yeah.
I think there's always like this pendulum in almost anything in the world. And this, like when I was growing up, our parents would say like, you can do whatever you put your mind to. And then the pendulum like swung the other way and it's like, be real with your kids. Don't tell them they can do whatever they want. Like just make them so that they're able to like live in the world. And I think you can do both.
Yeah.
Like we have to have dreamers. And so that was super fun. You could have great conversations with your kids after this movie about humility and teamwork and forgiveness and chasing your dreams and like hard work. I mean, he is working to pay rent, can't pay rent. Mm-hmm. And then after he's done working to try to pay rent that he can't pay, he's going to play basketball.
Yeah.
Roar ball. I just thought it was awesome. I cannot wait. I actually might take the kids to go see it in theaters, and I have never done that yet.
Yeah.
I've never gone to see a movie alone and then for this show and then taking the kids after. Yeah. We usually just watch it at home. I think I'll take the kids to see this one.
Yeah. One of the things I really liked that like had the potential to be like a weird political statement was I was waiting for the landlord to turn out to be the bad guy when he didn't pay the rent.
Yeah.
But he didn't. Like at no point, he was a hamster and had 50 million kids.
That was awesome, by the way. The fact that he had that many kids and then his wife's like,
I'm pregnant. And he's like, I'm so happy. It was so cute.
But how often do you see that kind of stuff in movies, though,
never.
Where like you have all these kids and they have another one and they're like, yay.
And they're all excited about it. And like the being a dad was such a positive thing in this movie. You got the rhino who is on the team and he's got two daughters who are monsters. But he's so happy to be a dad. And like he's just like, I just want to be a good dad. Like that's his whole thing. And you got the landlord who's like, hey, man, I'm so sorry. I got to get rid of you, but you're not paying your rent. And I got to feed these mouths here. And you don't hate him. Like there's no complicated villains here where you're like, oh, I kind of dislike this guy because he did this to my man. And no, there's the one bad guy, Maine, and he sucks.
Two bad guys. Maine and then the owner of the team, the pig owner.
Oh, you're
of the
right.
Team.
The pig owner of the team. That's right. So there's two. You're right.
But that's
they're
it.
Like clean bad
they're the
guys.
Clearest
there's,
bad guys the whole
there's
movie.
There's no like ambiguity to the whole thing. Yeah, they're very, very good. I was exactly like you. I went and saw Hoppers first. And I saw them both on the same day thinking to myself, like, this is going to be the better one. I really don't want to have to go sit through Goat because I was like, this is going to be just a dumb... Like, I honestly thought Goat was going to be the more AI, the more cheap, the more like lame of the two. And it really was not at all. And Steph Curry did it. Steph Curry is a practicing Christian. He's open about his faith. He's open about loving being a father. So I was really quite proud of what they did with Goat. I thought that was neat.
Yeah. It was awesome. There's a character in the movie who has a social media addiction and she can't stop looking at what people are saying about her. And like the whole lesson there was great. Like don't search yourself. You know, don't live on your phone. Be present with the people around you.
Yeah.
I thought that was really cool. And then most movies that try to do what this movie did, I think are really cringe. They used a lot of Gen Z language, like a ton.
Yeah.
And just like the way they use social media in the movie was very much was how it is now.
It reminded me
but they
of
did
Ninja
a good
Turtles.
Job of it. Yeah, 100% like Ninja Turtles.
Yeah, the newest Ninja Turtles, we did an episode on it. Go back and find it. But and the animation style, not the same, but similar.
Yeah, and yeah. I would say this movie, good for any age. And cannot wait to take the kids.
Absolutely. And if you would like to Google what a cloaca is in advance, go for it.
I'll be doing that after this.
This is a great episode. I'm just excited
so
whenever there's actual kid content for us to look at. But there's so much for us to wade through out there as parents.
I'm Jonathan Blevins.
I'm Katie, Mrs. Ruby. Let us help you decide.
Is this for kids?